Our New Testament lesson is chosen from the book. Of course, we are continuing our learning from the letters, Paul's letters to Romans. The book of Romans chapter 1. Today we will be reading one verse of Romans chapter 1, 4b. And it said it should be a memory verse for all of us. Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Jimmy, if you don't mind just putting that up there, that would be my whole sermon. So thank you. Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his conversion, his letters to the Christian in Rome, and what it is that he thing is most important in his letter, which is the gospel, God's gospel. And we talk greatly about how the gospel came to Paul. And this morning, we're going to talk about Paul's favorite term to describe Jesus Christ. Paul's favorite term to describe God or Jesus Christ in the New Testament is Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord. Lord in the Old Testament times, in Old Testament writing in Hebrews, is written as Yahweh or Jehovah, Yahweh, right? So that is the Hebrew term and in the Old Testament. But the Greek version of the Old Testament, which is called Septuagint, translate that word in Greek language and replace the word Yahweh with Lord. So whenever we see a New Testament, whenever you read Lord, for the most part that describe Jesus Christ, it really means Yahweh. Jesus, therefore, is in the New Testament Yahweh, God. Of course, we should know that not all the terms in the New Testament that says Lord doesn't necessarily mean Yahweh. It may mean that a sign of respect, given a title given to someone in honorary position. But when Paul addressed Jesus as Lord and is translated literally from the Old Testament term, the Hebrew term, to Greek term, which is Yahweh or Jehovah, so Jesus really means in the New Testament is the Yahweh, the God we worship. So no surprise that Paul actually writes Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Paul addressed Jesus as Lord, and we must ask this question. Why? Why is it necessary to address Jesus as Lord? Why is this so important? Why is this term, Lord, is so important? Now, Christians, you people, worshipers, and from coming from different backgrounds, different tradition, grew up in different tradition. Now, we all know that we are saved by Christ and Christ alone. So Jesus is our Savior. Correct? You all know that, right? So I don't want to go through the next 15 minutes to explain this. Jesus is our Savior. We all agree to this. But isn't it enough just to say Jesus is our Savior and just stop right there and not address as Lord? Why would we need the term Lord? Well, if you look at the history over time, and even in Europe, even in places and nations that have Lord and King and were addressed as Lord, and they will have a power and ownership over the people and the land. And some terms, in a sense, of religious leaders in biblical time will also be addressed as Lord or God, with a small g. But here we know Jesus as Lord. It is so important to realize that we cannot separate Savior and Lord. And Paul's going to explain to us in this verse alone and throughout our study in Romans as we move on throughout the weeks, in later months. Paul said this. Jesus is the Son of God, so therefore he is both Savior and Lord. If Jesus Christ is not Lord, he would not be Savior. Now, I know this is kind of a wordplay a little bit, but Jesus Christ is Lord, therefore he is our Savior. Are you following me? He is Lord. He is Lord over everything. He is Lord over demons. He is Lord over sickness. He's the Lord over troubles. He's the Lord over storms. He's the Lord over nature. He is the Lord over everything. Therefore, he can save us. Can we say amen to that? Amen. What good is this to have a Lord who can't save us? What good is this to have a Savior who is not our Lord? Now you must think, what do you mean by that? Well, I grew up in a land which is far, far away from you. Now that I've been a citizen for almost 2 years, I can brag that I am a full native, not necessarily native, but I am American, as best as you can get after living here for over 2 decades, and I recently became a citizen. But I grew up in a land called Myanmar, Burma, right next door to Thailand. And that is a land that's beautiful and it's rich with natural resources. But I grew up with all the people, all the things around me with false gods, false lords. Everywhere I went, there will be gods made out of either wood, carving out of woods or made out of gold. And they call it the temple pagoda. The Buddhist temple will be everywhere, every street corner you go, and it will be erected, and they will put it up. They will cover it with gold leaves, and they pour out all enormous amount of their fortune and money, and they will come to these places for worship and prayers and meditations day and night. People will do that. But you know, I realized so many times as growing up as a child in Burma or Myanmar, and I was look around and saying, look, who are they praying to, and where are they getting? Are they getting anywhere? Truth is that if you understand clearly about our faith and the Bible and read what it says, is that there is no other way, no other form to God. Now, this doesn't mean that I didn't love my Buddhist neighbors or my Buddhist friends, but it's just that they were going nowhere, but they were worshiping false gods and false religions. Naturally, so to speak, they are good in themselves. They're kind, they're compassionate, they're loving. There wasn't like a terrorist running around and trying to harm people, but the core of it is that they were worshiping a false god who doesn't listen, who doesn't hear, and they were going nowhere. And I was thinking, wow, wow, we, the people, we humans, could be so easily misled by something that we can think of and imagine. And just saying, wow, this got to be good, so let's follow it. Let's follow this teaching. Let's follow this way. But at the end, it gets you nowhere. Men and women, Christianity, Christian faith, is unique because it is a living religion. Its leader, so to speak, Christ is the head of Christianity. Christ is the head of our church. Christ is the Lord of the church, who came from heaven to earth, who in the Bethlehem story in Luke chapter 2 verse 11, when the angel announced good news to the shepherds, today in your place a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ what? The Lord. He is Christ the Lord, the living God, who came, who lived. There were witnesses there, and who died for you and I. And they were witnesses there, and who lived among his people for 40 days. There were witnesses there, and he ascended to heaven. There were witnesses there, all recorded. and he promised that he will come again. Jesus Christ is Lord because he is the Lord over death. He's the Lord over the King of Kings. He's the Lord over the Lord of Lords. But you know, I left that place, Burma, Myanmar, 22 years ago. And I thought that, well, I have been away from the land of Buddhism, which has been dominated by Buddhists. Almost 90% of the population are Buddhist. And I thought, well, you know what? Now I'm going to America, and it's a Christian nation, so you know what? I'll be all set. As I live my life throughout decades here in the United States, I become more and more aware that we too in this nation have false gods. False gods. Yes, we have so many religions pouring right into our land. And we also have dangerous political ideas. We also have dangerous philosophies, manners of unbelief, manners that which says that Jesus Christ is not Lord, manners which says that God doesn't exist, manners that says that God didn't create the heavens and the earth. Those are false gods. And they are as dangerous as man-made God by wooden carved wooden things or a golden shrine. Perhaps they're more dangerous because it can take away our mind, our hearts, our soul, and down to destructions. So it is so important that Paul reminds the Christian in Rome that Jesus Christ is not only a Savior who forgives you from your sins, who died for your sins, but he is the Lord over your mind. He is the Lord over your heart. He is the Lord of your thinking. He is the Lord of your heart. He is the Lord of your soul. He is the Lord of your ethical preferences. He is the Lord of your moral preferences. He is the Lord of your political preferences. He is the Lord of your church. He is the Lord of your nation. He is the Lord of the world. If Jesus Christ is only Savior and not Lord, he'll be useless. Why? Because he would have no power over anything. Because Jesus is Lord and Jesus has power over us. Paul is saying it is his joy and honor. It is his joy and honor to belong to him. Jews and Greeks, you and I, all of us, because Jesus is our Savior, Jesus is our Lord, we belong to him. We are his. We are his people. So the word Lord, our master, our king, who owns everything, who is the Lord over everything. Now, I would say he owned us. We are holy, holy. All of us are owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he do that? How did he do that? To describe this in a brief stories, a young boy learned to make a wooden toy and a toy boat made out of wood. And he loved it so much. So he treasured it and he put it in his bedroom. And day and night he adored it. He was so proud of it. One day a burglar came in and stole all the good things in his house, including this wooden toy boat from his room. He was devastated. He was broken. He didn't know what to do, but his life was ruined, he thought. That one day he walked into the city and looking at the store, he saw a toy store and found the exact wooden toy boat that he made was on for sale for a price. He was so thrilled. He was ecstatic. He was so happy. He went home. He collected all the change, all the money, and came back to the store and pay the price for that boat, the toy that he made, and left the store and put the toy in his arm, and he said a word. Now You are mine twice. You are mine twice. That's exactly who we are in Christ. We are God's twice. God made you and I. God created you and I. Then sin entered that separate us from the love of God, because God would not have anything to do with sin. But he loved us so much. He cared about us so much. You know what he did? He bought us with a price. He went on that cross on that Calvary day. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. That's love, people. He loved you so much that he died for you. He died for your family. He died for your friends. And said, now you are mine. How many times? Twice. He made you. And he bought you. You belong to him. Now it is an honor and joy to live for this Lord, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, who not only saved us from our sins, but he is the Lord of our life, our thinking, our mind, our intellect, our vocational choices, our belief, our behavior, our lifestyle. It matters because the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the Lord over our life. A girl by the name of Rachel Joyce Scott, she was the first person to be killed by the killers, the two killers, on April 20th, 1999 in Columbine High School in Colorado. The gunman asked, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And she said, yes. And in her journal, in her writing, this is what she said. Jesus gave his life for me, and I'm going to give my life to him. Rachel Joyce Scott. Jesus gave his life for you. He did. Now we, because of that, now we belong to him. When I became a Christian, I was about 15 years old. I came to know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. And I didn't know what all that meant to say, I give my life to Christ. I gave my life to Christ. I told you the story before. My baptism was rather unique. Denise, you were baptized here, and as Denise is here today joining us, and you were baptized as an adult, so you could see. So kind of similar to your baptism, I was able to remember my baptism back then, because I was baptized at 15 years old. But a little different, because I was baptized in a Baptist church where the minister really, really dunk you. Is that what you call? Dunk? You immerse? Submerge. Thank you. Submerge. Okay. Submerge you. That's the better intellect words. Thank you, Professor Debbie. And so the minister, and they put you down and down the water. You need to learn how to swim, people, if you want to be baptized in the Baptist church, all right? I mean, they really push you down and say, do you believe? Do you believe? I mean, yeah, and I had been said that, and a minister once said to a baptism candidate, and he put down this boy and trying to baptize, and he asked three times, do you believe? And he was holding on it long, and when he came up, and the minister asked him and said, do you believe? And so, yes, I believe. And the minister said, what do you believe? I believe you're trying to kill me. So I didn't do like that, but I jumped. Literally, I couldn't find the stairs. It's like a swimming pool in the church. I jumped. I couldn't find the stairs, and I make a cannonball. Is that right? I did. I mean, I almost killed the minister because there was a microphone there all connected with wire and all sorts. And he was like, didn't you see the stairs? I go, what stairs? So I was baptized. I didn't know what all that process meant, right? That I accepted Jesus as my Lord because the peace of Christ came to my heart, and I was convinced that I really need to claim this faith as my own, and I would follow Christ for the rest of my life. But I didn't know what all that meant. But I was baptized, and I said yes to God. But I knew then that something had to change. Something had to be different, because I said yes to God. I said yes to being baptized. I said yes to following Christ. But Jesus didn't only save me from my sin, but he became my new boss, my new master, my new Lord, my new king. But it's interesting about this Lord, this God, this Christ. Remember, this is the Lord, the King of Kings, who would stop for any individuals at any given time, would have a conversation, would forgive their sins, would hang around with sinners that no one would want to in their society, in the community, would prostitutes, would tax collectors, would wash the feet of the stinking feet of his 12 men, right? He would wash his disciples' feet. This is the Lord. This is our new boss, people. The God who forgives, the God who says, forgives not one time, but 70 times. How many times? Seven. The God who said, if you want to live, you give your life to Christ first. The irony of the gospel. And those who give their life to Christ will live. And if you want to be first, be last. Serve one another. You want to be a master, a leader? Jesus said, serve. Care for one another. Show compassion, show love. That is the statement of us saying Jesus is our Lord. Many women, I see many Christians, many people go around and say, oh, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. But their lives have little to show for that kind of faith. When we say Jesus is our Savior and Jesus is our Lord, we, the church, we the people recognize, men and women, that there has to be a commitment, an obedience, an action that follow our faith. You know, by the name, perhaps by the name of Bishop Polycarp. Anybody knows him? Okay. He's long gone, so don't worry about it. But I believe he's in heaven. Well, he was challenged by the people and the power and authority of his days. The very things that Paul was writing his letters to, the community and the ruler in Rome. He was arrested. Polycarp, the bishop, Christian bishop, was arrested by the Roman authorities, the religious leaders, that he was asked to confess not Jesus as Lord, but Caesar, the Roman emperor, as Lord. A very simple act. He was asked to burn incense to the emperor. Doing so would spare his life, and not doing it, obviously, is a death sentence. So this Polycarp, the bishop, facing his death, knowing very well of what might come, he said this: For 86 years, Jesus Christ has been my Lord. He has been good to me. Now then, can I turn away from him and call Caesar as Lord? So he didn't bow down to Caesar. He didn't burn incense to Caesar. For that, he lost his life. He was burned on a stake simply by not burning incense to the Roman emperor. Men and women, Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. He saved us from all our sins, and he called us to be disciples, to follow him every day. But one day, or even maybe now, you and I will be called to say, give up your Lord. Call this philosophy as Lord. Call this political movement as Lord. call this religion as Lord, call this idea as Lord. If not, you will lose your job. If not, your family will be torn apart. Oh, there will be threats there. It's been happening now, left and right, around the world, systematically, even in this place like United States. To dare to claim that Jesus Christ is our Lord, it's a powerful thing today. And it should have meaning to it. What's the meaning? Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, means that we belong to Him. Not to Caesars, not to dangerous philosophies, not to dangerous political movements, but we belong to Christ. He bought us with a price. He paid the price with His blood. We are His twice. How can we turn our back on Christ? Rachel Joy Scott said yes. And she said, Jesus gave His life for me, and I'll give my life to Him. You know how Rachel Joy Scott did it? Because of that statement of faith, he accepted friends in his high school. The only black students in his class, he befriended him. He taught him about motivation, inspirations before she was killed. And that her calling in life was to extend compassion to the person she meets every day so that there will be a chain reaction. It's happening around the world, the country now, in high schools and places, that students are now trying to extend compassion and trying to point out bullies in the high school and trying to teach them love and compassion. And her movie, by the way, is coming up. It's called Not Ashamed, next month. Rachel Joy Scott, 17 years old, really lived her life. Polikov did this. And there were many others. How about us? Is Jesus our Lord and our Savior? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the Lord of your mind, your morality, your ethical choices? Is He the Lord of our church? Is He the head of our church? Is He the King of Kings above the president and the presidential candidates? Is He the King of the world? For He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And He said, lo, I am with you always. Remember, God truly is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. With that we say, forever, O God, You are faithful. Forever, You remain the same. Thanks be to God. Amen.